Hello, my dears. Welcome to this week's podcast, Transcending with DLC. This week, I want to talk to you about trans women in their bodies. I want to give you learnings about the things I've learned since I've been transitioning. So, if you ask any woman about their body, and a lot of them will tell you the things that they hate rather than the things they love about their body. Why is that? I think there's so much body shaming and misogyny in mainstream media levied towards women that for many cis women, the thought of going out shopping public or even going out in public or even wearing something slightly revealing can be a daunting prospect, never mind doing it as a trans woman. I went shopping for some new clothes today, as well as a bra fit, my first one in 2 years, which is a bit daft, but I should have had one much sooner. And while all the shop assistants were lovely and really helpful, the anxiety of going clothes shopping on your own as a trans woman is very real. I know certainly for a lot of trans women, they would much rather go shopping for their foods on clothes online, sorry, than they would in person. And why is that? I think that the media has a big role to play in women's relationships with their bodies, and I'm hoping that you listening to this today will give you a better relationship with your body. So I really want to use today to talk about your body and the most valuable lessons I've learned since I've been transitioning. So the first one I'm going to say is, you're going to get fatter. Now, you may hate me for saying this, and a lot of women wouldn't be really happy with me telling them this, but for most trans women will put on 9 pounds of body fat in a period of their transition. I'm going to say it again, most trans women will put on 9 pounds of body fat. It's a scientific fact, and research has shown that because of the way that our bodies redistribute fat and fatty tissue, as well as breast growth, you know, that is the average amount of fat that you're going to put on in your transition. And certainly I can see where that would be an issue for many women, because we're fed of these images of imperfect bodies, and if we step away from that, then we're told that it's wrong. Women are supposed to be skinny. If you ask me, curves are healthy, not the other way around. I don't agree with the media's perception of, and portrayal of what women are meant to look like at all. I think that we're supposed to be curvy. If you looked at me 5 years ago, I was a size 10. I was really struggling with my transition. I was bulimic. I was in a really dark place. And, you know, looking back, I wish I could go back and hug that person and tell her that, you know, everything is going to be okay. She just needs to understand that in order to appear more feminine, she just needs to let go and stop worrying about what she eats and just, you know, allow herself the freedom to be able to grow and, you know, to put that body fat on, because if anything, curves are going to make you look and appear more womanly and more feminine. Step number two, boobs take time to grow. Breasts, titties, fun bags, whatever you want to call them. I can't believe I said fun bags. But for most trans women, and I count myself in this category, we see breasts as one of the defining things that are going to make us appear more feminine. Of course, you know, it only stands to reason, but we want results instantly, and we become frustrated or angry at the lack of results. I'm going to refer you to the Chinese bamboo tree now. And when the Chinese bamboo tree is planted, you have to water and fertilize it for a period of 5 years. In the fifth year, the Chinese bamboo tree will grow 90 feet in a period of 6 weeks. Now ask yourself, does the Chinese bamboo tree take 6 weeks to grow, or does it take 5 years to grow? I'm hoping that you said 5 years to grow. And it's the same with your boobs. You know, when a child is entering puberty, from the time it enters puberty to the time that it has the body of a fully developed woman, it's not a few months or even a year, it's generally around 5 years. So why should you be any different? You know, for my first certainly 12 to 18 months, I didn't really have any breast growth at all, and then all of a sudden I did start getting some body, and that was when I threw my silicone prosthetic breasts away and I started just wearing the bras that, you know, were more aligned to my size. But I went from having nothing to the cup size I have now, because I got measured today. I'm a 40B, and it's all natural. You know, I've had no augmentation, and, you know, understand that it takes 5 years for any breast tissue to develop fully. If you ask any surgeon or anyone who knows about transgender bodies, they will tell you the same thing. It takes 5 years. And you know, on the flip side of this, I had a transgender friend who she was frustrated at the lack of development with her breasts, so she had breast augmentation after two and a half years. And she really she had to go and have surgery to have the implants removed because they were so painful afterwards when her breast tissue started growing further that she had to have them removed. So understand that, you know, it takes around 5 years for your breasts to develop as much as they're going to. The next one, you're going to have a second puberty. Probably. Now I say probably because unless you've been lucky enough to come to transition in your teenage years or, you know, pre-puberty, unless you've been on puberty blockers, your body is going to go through the changes that it's went through for a second time. Do you remember those feelings when you were a teenager, when you were uncertain, you had anguish, you had sadness, you had real aggression you don't really know where from? You're going to get them all again. Certainly, when I was transitioning very early on in my first few months, I was sitting at work one occasion, it really springs to mind because it's a really good reference for this subject. I was sitting at work and I hadn't spoken to anyone on the phone or anything, and then all of a sudden I felt like the Hulk in the Avengers. I just wanted to smash everything up. I was so bloody angry and didn't really understand where it came from. So I went to the toilet to try and do some mindfulness and calm down, and then as I was sitting there, I got so frustrated at the fact that I was angry and I didn't really understand where it was coming from that I started crying. And then I was crying more because I was crying at the fact that I got angry. And I went to one of my friends after I managed to sort myself out, and I said to her, like, I explained what had happened, and I said to her, is this normal? And she said, welcome to womanhood. So please have the patience when you're struggling, and remember to give yourself a break. You know, your body's going through a second puberty. You wouldn't turn up to a teenager and just say, you know, you should be normal, you know, and, you know, these feelings that you don't have are real. So why would you do the same to yourself? You know, be kind to yourself. Understand that, you know, you are going through a second puberty, and have patience. The fourth one I'm going to say is cis women's hormones are cyclical. So will yours be. I've been on hormones for a long time now, 5.5 years nearly, and while certainly it's true before you have the surgery, if this is the path you've chosen, then as with a cis woman, your hormone levels will fluctuate. In between, if you're pre-op and you're having the androgens, they're in between the injections or the administration of the androgen medication, you're going to have times when your testosterone levels rise and you get more angry and stuff. Perfectly normal, happens to every trans woman. But also when you're post-op, whilst we're not like cis women in the fact that we don't have wombs, therefore periods, our hormone levels are still cyclical. You know, I've been on the same medication now. Luckily, I've got my hormone levels sorted about 7 to 8 months after my operation. And, you know, for the past 4 and a bit, 5 months, my levels have been pretty stable in terms of the estrogen that I have in my blood tests. But still, I have surges of hormones as a woman would every month. And, you know, there are some weeks when my breasts really hurt and I'm, you know, weepy, or then I'm angry, or then I'm, you know, I'm craving certain foods and stuff. It's absolutely fine. It's perfectly normal. It's hormones. I think far too often we expect us to be the same as we were pre-transition in terms of once we're settled with our hormones, everything should be fine. And truth be told, we're never going to be. But, you know, understand that it's perfectly normal. It's part of your transition. And the final one I want to talk about is sex. You can have sex comfortably both pre and post surgery. Now this is a trigger warning. If you don't want to hear about transgender sex or having sex with a transgender person, skip the rest of the training session, because to be honest, apart from the summary, you're not going to want to hear the rest of it. You're still here? Fantastic, because that means that you want to hear this. Okay, so I was comfortable in my body to a degree pre-transition, because I kind of just had a level of acceptance, well, this is it, I'm never going to have anything else. And I tried to, you know, I had sex, of course I had sex pre-transition, but whilst I was doing it, it was never fulfilling, other than the, you know, in a physical way, and on an emotional level, it didn't really fulfill me. And also, you know, I was wishing that I was something I wasn't. So The sex since I've been transitioning has been phenomenal on the whole. As with any transgender person, or if you're in a relationship with a transgender person, the anxiety around having sex is going to be very real. It's going to be scary. All I would say to you is, you know, have a conversation and a place of equals, and you share what your anxieties are and what your boundaries are, and, you know, respect each other's boundaries. As you grow into the relationship and your sex life becomes more frequent or more comfortable, then perhaps those boundaries will change. But as with any intimate relationship, if you're going to be in a sexual relationship as a trans person, then communication is absolutely key. You need to understand what is and what isn't acceptable for that person and then stick to it. As an example, when I met someone 3 years ago and started a relationship with her, whilst we did have some level of intimacy, I didn't want to be touched by her down there because I just didn't really feel comfortable enough with her to be touched down there. And that's nothing against her, it's just the way that it was. But then, you know, when I met my fiance, and we've been together 2.5 years now, we've had sex both pre and post surgery. The sex pre-surgery, whilst I had the boundaries in place initially, they kind of came down because I was more comfortable and I felt more able to share myself with her because of the kind of person that she was and the personality and everything else. And the sex life was bloody incredible, it was absolutely amazing. There's nothing wrong with a trans person enjoying sex both pre and post surgery, and anyone who says that they can't is an absolute douche, because you're an adult and you deserve to have those feelings and to be in a loving, supportive and happy relationship and enjoy your sex life, and there's no shame in that. Certainly post-op, of course, it's very different. It takes a long time for things to settle after surgery, for you to get sensation back. I didn't really have any clitoral sensation for about 6-7 months post-surgery. There was some, but certainly I wasn't able to put a rabbit down there and, you know, have multiple orgasms. It's taken a long time to get there, but the sex that I have now is bloody incredible, and also the sensations I have down there. I can have multiple orgasms and I still have fluid appearing from the prostate. You think about it, when you have surgery, they remove the testicles, they do an orchidectomy, but they don't, you know, remove the prostate. That still forms a part of your sexuality and how your body works and stuff. It's incredible, honestly. I'm kind of blushing a bit when I say this, and I'm not going to be too graphic, but it's absolutely sensational, and the feelings are there. I haven't encountered any trans woman yet who's had issues post-surgery after a while, you know, once things have settled. So understand that, you know, your body will take a bit of time to adapt to how it is, and you're going to have to learn how it works again. It's kind of exciting though, isn't it? I mean, the fact that I've been able to learn how my body works again and get excited by that, and it's honestly, it blows me away. It's absolutely phenomenal. So please understand that you're going to have to learn how your body works again, but all I'm going to say is, my goodness, it's definitely worth the wait once you get there. So the above list, or the things that I've mentioned, certainly it's not exhaustive, and I haven't really delved into any of the subjects in great detail, but what I hope that I've given you is some hope. I hope that what I've given you today resonates with you a bit, and that it makes you more comfortable and a bit more relaxed about your journey and the changes that you're going through. All I'm going to say to you is that this is your transition, it's your body, it's your journey, so enjoy it and cherish it. I know I do mine anyway. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Please do share it with anyone who you think will benefit from this. I'm going to be away for the next few weeks because I have my daughter for 2 weeks, next week and the week after, and we've got a funeral to go to and whatnot, so I just need to attend to her really for the next few weeks. So I will be back in 3 weeks time. If you've got any subject you want me to cover, please do contact me via YouTube, leave a comment on the video or through my Twitter or Facebook page. Until then, as I always say, be yourself, no one else. Take care, bye. Hello, my dears. Welcome to this week's podcast, Transcending with DLC. This week, I want to talk to you about trans women in their bodies. I want to give you learnings about the things I've learned since I've been transitioning. So, if you ask any woman about their body, and a lot of them will tell you the things that they hate rather than the things they love about their body. Why is that? I think there's so much body shaming and misogyny in mainstream media levied towards women, that for many cis women, the thought of going out shopping in public, or even going out in public, or even wearing something slightly revealing can be a daunting prospect, never mind doing it as a trans woman. I went shopping for some new clothes today, as well as a bra fit, my first one in 2 years, which is a bit daft, but I should have had one much sooner. And while all the shop assistants were lovely and really helpful, the anxiety of going clothes shopping on your own as a trans woman is very real. I know certainly for a lot of trans women, they would much rather go shopping for their foods on clothes online, sorry, than they would in person. And why is that? I think that the media has a big role to play in women's relationships with their bodies, and I'm hoping that you listening to this today will give you a better relationship with your body. So I really want to use today to talk about your body and the most valuable lessons I've learned since I've been transitioning. So the first one I'm going to say is, you're going to get fatter. Now, you may hate me for saying this, and a lot of women wouldn't be really happy with me telling them this, but for most trans women will put on 9 pounds of body fat in the period of their transition. I'm going to say it again, most trans women will put on 9 pounds of body fat. It's a scientific fact, and research has shown that because of the way that our bodies redistribute fat and fatty tissue, as well as breast growth, you know, that is the average amount of fat that you're going to put on in your transition. And certainly I can see where that would be an issue for many women, because we're fed of these images of imperfect bodies, and if we step away from that, then we're told that it's wrong. Women are supposed to be skinny. If you ask me, curves are healthy, not the other way around. I don't agree with the media's perception of, and portrayal of what women are meant to look like at all. I think that we're supposed to be curvy. If you looked at me 5 years ago, I was a size 10. I was really struggling with my transition. I was bulimic. I was in a really dark place. And, you know, looking back, I wish I could go back and hug that person and tell her that, you know, everything is going to be okay. She just needs to understand that in order to appear more feminine, she just needs to let go and stop worrying about what she eats and just, you know, allow herself the freedom to be able to grow and, you know, to put that body fat on, because if anything, curves are going to make you look and appear more womanly and more feminine. Step number two, boobs take time to grow. Breasts, titties, fun bags, whatever you want to call them. I can't believe I said fun bags. But for most trans women, and I count myself in this category, we see breasts as one of the defining things that are going to make us appear more feminine. Of course, you know, it only stands to reason, but we want results instantly, and we become frustrated or angry at the lack of results. I'm going to refer you to the Chinese bamboo tree now, and when the Chinese bamboo tree is planted, you have to water and fertilize it for a period of 5 years. In the fifth year, the Chinese bamboo tree will grow 90 feet in a period of 6 weeks. Now ask yourself, does the Chinese bamboo tree take 6 weeks to grow, or does it take 5 years to grow? I'm hoping that you said 5 years to grow, and it's the same with your boobs. You know, when a child is entering puberty, from the time it enters puberty to the time that it has the body of a fully developed woman, it's not a few months or even a year, it's generally around 5 years. So why should you be any different? You know, for my first, certainly 12 to 18 months, I didn't really have any breast growth at all, and then all of a sudden I did start getting some body, and that was when I threw my silicone prosthetic breasts away and I started just wearing the bras that, you know, were more aligned to my size. But I went from having nothing to the cup size I have now, because I got measured today. I'm a 40B and it's all natural, you know, I've had no augmentation. And, you know, understand that it takes 5 years for any breast tissue to develop fully. If you ask any surgeon or anyone who knows about transgender bodies, they will tell you the same thing. It takes 5 years. And, you know, on the flip side of this, I had a transgender friend who, she was frustrated at the lack of development with her breasts. So she had breast augmentation after two and a half years. And she really, she had to go and have surgery to have the implants removed because they were so painful. afterwards, when her breast tissue started growing further, that she had to have them removed. So understand that, you know, it takes around 5 years for your breasts to develop as much as they're going to. The next one, you're going to have a second puberty. Probably. Now, I say probably because unless you've been lucky enough to come to transition in your teenage years or, you know, pre-puberty, unless you've been on puberty blockers, your body is going to go through the changes that it's went through for a second time. Do you remember those feelings when you were a teenager, when you were uncertain, you had anguish, you had sadness, you had real aggression you don't really know where from? You're going to get them all again. Certainly, when I was transitioning very early on in my first few months, I was sitting at work one occasion, it really springs to mind because it's a really good reference for this subject. I was sitting at work and I hadn't spoken to anyone on the phone or anything, and then all of a sudden I felt like the Hulk in the Avengers. I just wanted to smash everything up. I was so bloody angry and didn't really understand where it came from. So I went to the toilet to try and do some mindfulness and calm down, and then as I was sitting there, I got so frustrated at the fact that I was angry and I didn't really understand where it was coming from that I started crying. And then I was crying more because I was crying at the fact that I got angry. And I went to one of my friends after I managed to sort myself out, and I said to her, like, I explained what had happened, and I said to her, is this normal? And she said, welcome to womanhood. So please have the patience when you're struggling, and remember to give yourself a break. You know, your body's going through a second puberty. You wouldn't turn up to a teenager and just say, yo, you should be normal, you know, and, you know, these feelings that you don't have are real. So why would you do the same to yourself? You know, be kind to yourself, understand that, you know, you are going through a second puberty, and have patience. The fourth one I'm going to say is cis women's hormones are cyclical. So will yours be. I've been on hormones for a long time now, 5.5 years nearly, and while certainly it's true before you have the surgery, if this is the path you've chosen, then as with a cis woman, your hormone levels will fluctuate. In between, if you're pre-op and you're having the androgens, they're in between the injections or the administration of the androgen medication, you're going to have times when your testosterone levels rise and you get more angry and stuff. Perfectly normal, happens to every trans woman. But also when you're post-op, whilst we're not like cis women in the fact that we don't have wombs, therefore periods, our hormone levels are still cyclical. You know, I've been on the same medication now. Luckily, I've got my hormone levels sorted about 7 to 8 months after my operation. And, you know, for the past 4 and a bit, 5 months, my levels have been pretty stable in terms of the estrogen that I have in my blood tests. But still, I have surges of hormones as a woman would every month. And, you know, there are some weeks when my breasts really hurt and I'm, you know, weepy, or then I'm angry, or then I'm, you know, I'm craving certain foods and stuff. It's absolutely fine. It's perfectly normal. It's hormones. I think far too often we expect us to be the same as we were pre-transition in terms of once we're settled with our hormones, everything should be fine. And truth be told, we're never going to be. But, you know, understand that it's perfectly normal. It's part of your transition. And the final one I want to talk about is sex. You can have sex comfortably both pre and post surgery. Now, this is a trigger warning. If you don't want to hear about transgender sex or having sex with a transgender person, skip the rest of the training session, because to be honest, apart from the summary, you're not going to want to hear the rest of it. You're still here? Fantastic, because that means that you want to hear this. Okay, so I was comfortable in my body to a degree pre-transition, because I kind of just had a level of acceptance, well, this is it, I'm never going to have anything else. And I tried to, you know, I had sex, of course I had sex pre-transition, but whilst I was doing it, it was never fulfilling, other than the, you know, in a physical way, and on an emotional level, it didn't really fulfill me. And also, you know, I was wishing that I was something I wasn't. So the sex since I've been transitioning has been phenomenal on the whole. As with any transgender person, or if you're in a relationship with a transgender person, the anxiety around having sex is going to be very real. It's going to be scary. All I would say to you is, you know, have a conversation and a place of equals, and you share what your anxieties are and what your boundaries are, and, you know, respect each other's boundaries. As you grow into the relationship and your sex life becomes more frequent or more comfortable, then perhaps those boundaries will change. But as with any intimate relationship, if you're going to be in a sexual relationship as a trans person, then communication is absolutely key. You need to understand what is and what isn't acceptable for that person and stick to it. As an example, when I met someone 3 years ago and had started a relationship with her, whilst we did have some level of intimacy, I didn't want to be touched by her down there because I just didn't really feel comfortable enough with her to be touched down there. And that's nothing against her, it's just the way that it was. But then, you know, when I met my fiance, and we've been together 2.5 years now, we've had sex both pre and post surgery. The sex pre-surgery, whilst I had the boundaries in place initially, they kind of came down because I was more comfortable and I felt more able to share myself with her because of the kind of person that she was and the personality and everything else. And the sex life was bloody incredible, it was absolutely amazing. There's nothing wrong with a trans person enjoying sex both pre and post surgery, and anyone who says that they can't is an absolute douche, because you're an adult and you deserve to have those feelings and to be in a loving, supportive and happy relationship and enjoy your sex life, and there's no shame in that. Certainly post-op, of course, it's very different. It takes a long time for things to settle after surgery, for you to get sensation back. I didn't really have any clitoral sensation for about 6-7 months post-surgery. There was some, but certainly I wasn't able to put a rabbit down there and, you know, have multiple orgasms. It's taken a long time to get there. But the sex that I have now is bloody incredible, and also the sensations I have down there. I can have multiple orgasms and I still have fluid appearing from the prostate. You think about it, when you have surgery, they remove the testicles, they do an orchidectomy, but they don't, you know, remove the prostate. That still forms a part of your sexuality and how your body works and stuff. It's incredible, honestly. I'm kind of blushing a bit when I say this, and I'm not going to be too graphic, but it's absolutely sensational, and the feelings are there. I haven't encountered any trans woman yet who's had issues post-surgery after a while, you know, once things have settled. So understand that, you know, your body will take a bit of time to adapt to how it is, and you're going to have to learn how it works again. It's kind of exciting though, isn't it? I mean, the fact that I've been able to learn how my body works again and get excited by that, and it's honestly, it blows me away. It's absolutely phenomenal. So please understand that you're going to have to learn how your body works again. But all I'm going to say is, my goodness, it's definitely worth the wait once you get there. So the above list, or the things that I've mentioned, certainly it's not exhaustive. And I haven't really delved into any of the subjects in great detail. But what I hope that I've given you is some hope. I hope that what I've given you today resonates with you a bit, and that it makes you more comfortable and a bit more relaxed about your journey and the changes that you're going through. All I'm going to say to you is that this is your transition. It's your body. It's your journey. So enjoy it and cherish it. I know I do mine anyway. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Please do share it with anyone who you think will benefit from this. I'm going to be away for the next few weeks because I have my daughter for 2 weeks, next week and the week after. And we've got a funeral to go to and whatnot. So I just need to attend to her really for the next few weeks. So I will be back in 3 weeks time. If you've got any subject you want me to cover, please do contact me via YouTube. Leave a comment on the video or through my Twitter or Facebook page. Until then, as I always say, be yourself and no one else. Take care. Bye.